it didn't feel good. I can tell you that. It's something I'll never forget. It only happened to me one time, and I wouldn't want it to happen to me again. I wouldn't want it to happen to any of my friends or family, that's for sure.
WHCM.
Yeah, heck no. Hey, what do you think the conditions were that caused it to fail? I mean, they don't usually blow up unless something goes wrong, right? With the tool, something shifted and put a force on it or ruptured the can or it got bottomed out somehow. What do you think caused it to blow up?
Age, and it was sitting outside, and apparently it had leaked at one point in time, too, because they had to blow the, once they set the die, they had to blow it, they had to hook the regulator tank up to it, and because the pressure went down. So I don't know if maybe it could have even went down to the point where it even had negative pressure and condensation or something. I don't know. But it didn't make it all the way, it didn't make it halfway through the shift. It was about, it was after first break, maybe.
Yeah, that's weird. Trying to remember when you build those so long. We used Dadco and Enforcer and all the different brand die springs. But I'm trying to remember how we would rebuild those. I'm trying to remember what retains the piston in there, the rod. But I wonder if they put it in the press and the gas pressure was void, right? And they rolled it over and it bottomed the spring out. And maybe something came unhitched or whatever holds the rod together. I just don't remember at this time, the assembly of them. It's been too many years. Anyway, and then when they pressurized it, maybe it was internally damaged from doing that, and then when they made another hit on a kaboom, you know, I don't know. But yeah, that's not a good thing for sure.
Said after first shift, before second, or not, after first break, before second, before lunch break, somewhere in there, it was, you know, look, how many million cycles had that thing already been through? I suppose it doesn't hurt to replace those once in a while. I'm going in, Phil. We've had this repeater tied up for a solid, between leaving Jeff's and on and off with Eric, we've had this repeater tied up, and I'm sure there's other people that would love to use it, and I imagine it's warmed up, and if something's going to break, it probably should have.
All right, man. We'll get off this thing. Give it a rest. Let others enjoy it. So take care, dude. 7-3, Mike. Catch you later. KB8OOE KEATEK.
Buddy, let's get working on those beams and omnis soon. I can set one up temporarily up here, and then I can set one up down at the house down there. I can't get to my towers. My stepmother won't let me at any of my stuff, and I don't even know if at this point my dad would even remember who I am. So it is what it is. I'll talk to you a little later, and Scott is real interested in getting in on this, but we're going to have to disguise some of his antennas, maybe load the gutters for HF and things like that. So I want you guys to meet, and you and Eric as well. So we'll go from there, and we'll get the show on the road, and that way we just use this for traveling, and then point to point we can shoot each other with the beams and omnis and stuff with a little higher power and lower in the band, other modes. KEB8OLE.
Hey, Mike, 7-3, KEATEK.
You're connected to CMN Network.